you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to plan to have the Lord's Supper tonight. It was scheduled for last Wednesday night, and so we'll plan to have it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let's pray together. Our Father, how we thank you this evening that we have this time, this blessed time, to be able to assemble ourselves together. And Lord, in this precious time of fellowship, when Lord, we're able to meet together as brethren and to meet with you, who've promised that where two or three are gathered together, you're with us, you're in our midst. And for that, we're so thankful. I pray that this evening, that Lord, you'd be pleased. Bless the word to our hearts. We pray for Joe and for Bruce. Lord, I pray you'd have mercy. Pray for those in our midst that are sick. I pray that you would heal according to your good pleasure. Lord, this evening, help us to worship. Help us to hear. Teach us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. The scripture says in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 15, for since by man came death, that is to say, when Adam disobeyed God, death, because of sin, death, physical death, spiritual death, the way that every man, woman is born into this world, they're born spiritually dead, incapable of hearing. And but for the grace of God, eternal death became the whole lot of mankind. For since by man came death, the scripture declares by man, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive because of the consequence of being one with Adam. We came, all of us came from the loins of Adam, and being one with him, just lineage, his blood flows in our veins. It passed down and down and down and down. It all came back from that one man, and in his transgression, because of Adam, for as in Adam, all die. Physical death for sure. That's assured to every man because we've all sinned. And that's proven as we just give it time. Every child that's born, there appears to be there for a while, some innocency. You know, but you just give it time. And that rebellion is going to manifest itself. We've all come short. We're all going to taste death because of sin. And for those who refuse to bow to the Lord of glory, eternal death is going to be their lot. I've said this so many times, every time I hear of someone that leaves this world. And I know people will, they'll go to a funeral and there'll be someone that They made absolutely no confession and believe in the gospel of God's free grace. And there'll be a funeral. And someone will stand up and try to take something, a little act of something they did when they was a kid, and they'll try to build on that and try to give somebody some hope. You know, but the scripture sets forth that a man that dies without a faithful knowledge and confession of the gospel of God's grace, you pretty well bet he died without Christ. There's an evidence of life. So far as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, all represented by and found to be in him, by God's electing grace, by God's choice, all that are represented and found to be united to the Lord by faith, that faith that was imparted in regenerating grace by the Holy Spirit, shall all be made alive, alive in resurrected glory. They're going to be raised from the dead. This is what the scripture says. We're going to be raised again. This body, as I've said, I'll say this again. I want to hear it. This body that is corruptible. This body right here that's mortal. There's going to be a change in this body. These eyes that are failing. These eyes, these ears that don't hear like they used to. This body that doesn't respond like it used to. And give it time, and it's going to fail. It's going because of sin. And it's going to be buried, a mortal body, a corruptible body, and it's going to go back to the dust. But Almighty God has set forth in the resurrection all that are found in Christ. Say, explain this to me. I cannot explain this to you. All I can tell you, Paul says we won't all sleep. Not everybody's going to die. There's going to be some that's going to be here when the Lord returns. They're not all going to sleep. But we're all going to be changed. Everybody's going to be changed. And all that died in the faith, they're going to be raised in a new body. Their body. Their body. That's what Job says. I'm going to see the Lord. These eyes, I'm going to see him. And it's going to be raised immortal, like unto his. Now that's a promise. In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. But verse 23 says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. That means that God has appointed an order. An order that's going to go like this. Christ is going to be raised the first fruits. He is the one that will be raised first as a promise to all that are found in him are going to be raised just like he was raised. He's going to be raised first to die no more. Now there's been records of some that had, Lazarus was one of them, that was raised from the dead. But he died again. Christ is the first fruits, those that will rise to die no more. And then at his second coming, the scripture says, all of his bride collectively shall be raised to life eternal. None of the sheep will precede any of the other sheep that have died in the faith. All that have died in the faith will precede those that are still here. That's what Paul says. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we, which are alive, should be raised together with them. But none of the sheep that have ever died in the faith are going to precede any of the sheep. I don't know how many sheep the Lord has. He knows. I don't know if all the sheep have been born. I don't know. I mean, we could be right on the very verge right now of the second coming of Christ. I don't know. But I can tell you this, when it's pleasing to the Lord, when God's sheep have all been regenerated, made new in Christ, when God Almighty is pleased to end this thing, at that time, all of the sheep will be raised together. Moses is not coming out of the ground before Brother Scott. All of them are going to be raised at the same time. That's what he said. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. And then, verse 24, cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power at the second coming of Christ. That's going to be the end. That's going to be the end. The end of the world as we know it. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth. But this world, as we know it, it's going to be over. An end of all rebellion, the end of sin abounding against God on this earth. God's going to burn it up. The end of excuses for not hearing the gospel, going to be over. All the books are going to be opened. Men are going to be judged out of those books, out of their works, according to their works. And there's going to be a time, no more time. I mean, just time just seems to go so quickly. You know, here we are, 2019, and here it is, half this month gone. Where'd it go? How could it go that fast? Here it is. Faith. Right now, we hear the gospel. We believe. We hear these scriptures. We believe God. God gives us faith right now to believe. Right now. You're believing by faith that God just gave you. He just gave. Faith cometh. 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 Not yesterday's faith. As I said, we don't breathe yesterday's air. Faith cometh by hearing. This is why it's so important to hear the gospel again. To hear it. Why? Because this is the way faith cometh. When there's an absence, you know this, when there's a laxness or an absence or something and we're not able to meet together, we're affected by it. We're affected. We need to be together. We need to hear. We need to hear the gospel. But in that day, when the end comes, faith going to give way to sight. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to know him. And hope. We have a hope right now. An expectation. That's what we have. We're going to see him as he is. Well, we have a hope there. But in that day, in the end, that's going to give way to reality. We're going to see him. No more need of preaching the gospel for the purpose of calling out God's sheep. They're going to be with the Lord. He will have called out all of his sheep. And then what happens when the end comes? Well, the scripture says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. I looked that up, that he will have delivered up. This is what it means. Given over. Given over. And as I read that, I thought, I pray God give me some light on this. So I've been praying that the Lord give me some light, and I believe he has. I believe I have something for you. And I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. I'm going to give an illustration. And hopefully, after this illustration, I'm going to make an application of that illustration concerning this. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. A whole family of children is lost. Well, actually, what's happened is they've been captured. They've been kidnapped by a very dangerous, powerful criminal. A criminal has lied and seduced those children and has taken them captive. And this criminal has one objective about those children that he's taken. He wants to harm the children because he hates the parents. He hates the parents, and so he's going to get at the parents through the children. Therefore, he truly hates the children too because of their relationship to the parents. Now these children are children of those parents, bone of bone and flesh of flesh of those parents. And the only chance that they have is if they're rescued. These children are captive to this dangerous, hideous criminal. And they have no chance of escape on their own. They're bound. He's got them locked up, bound up. And to rescue the children, the criminal is going to have to be overcome. The criminal is going to have to be taken care of first. So what happens is the dad, one that is bone of bone and flesh of flesh of those children, the dad who is their dad, takes the responsibility to become the rescuer and the deliverer of his kids because they're his. They're his children. And he loves them. And he's not going to leave them alone to perish. So he searches out until he finds the children. And when they're found, these children are found to have been abused. And they're broken. Their legs are broken and they're sick. And they're just consumed with sickness unto death. You know, head to foot. And they have no mental or physical capacity to be able to find their way home. And the criminal is aware of the rescue. And the father of these children has to come in and overcome. But the father has the ability. He's got the power. He's got whatever it takes to get to the criminal and overcome the criminal. He's stronger. And his heel in the taking of that of those children, taking that which is captive, his heel is bruised, but he crushes the head of that criminal, that evil one, that criminal. And he takes his children. Now these are his children. He owns them. He owns them. They're his. They're his kids. They're legally, morally, they're his children. And what he does is he comes and he brings them back to the mother. The mother who owns them also. And he delivers them to her. And he said, here's the kids. They're his kids. They belong to him. They belong to her. And he brings them. He brings them and they're safe and sound. And he presents them to her. And the children who were property of both of them owe their life and their deliverance totally to the dad who made himself to be the deliverer. He never ceased to be their dad. He made himself, he took upon himself the form of a rescuer. Their dad, who is their rescuer, and he comes. Now likewise, according to the everlasting covenant of God's grace, Almighty God, out of the mass of humanity, all that would ever be born before the foundation of the world, God Almighty, who knew every man, all souls are His. He chose Himself a family. God Himself chose Himself and predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to His good pleasure. They're His kids. He made them. He chose them. He ordained them to be holy and without blame. And by one act of disobedience, all of these children that belong to Almighty God, one act of disobedience by one man out of that mass of humanity, the first one, by his one act of disobedience, he fell captive to sin, to Satan, to this evil criminal. That criminal that hates God and all that are gods, he hates them. And now all of the children of God, because they're sons, they're fallen sons, but because they're sons, now they're lost sons in bondage to the criminal. And have no hope of escape in themselves, and they're dead. They've died. They've died spiritually. And they don't even know they're in bondage. They have no earthly idea they're in bondage. That's bondage, when you don't even know you're in bondage. And you think you're free. And they have no possibility. They don't know they're in bondage. They don't care that they're in bondage. Even if you told them they're in bondage, they don't believe you. They have no way of delivering themselves. And the Father, who is one with the Son and the Holy Spirit, according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, gives unto the Son, who willingly agrees to become the rescuer. Who is He? He's the Lord of glory. He's God Almighty. And the Son, who eternally and agreeably stood as the surety, the rescuer, the mediator of the sheep, He comes into this world having been commissioned, sent by the Father to go and rescue these children. You go get them. You get them. And I'm going to give you all power over all flesh, that you should give eternal life to as many as I have given you. And coming into this world, being made flesh like unto His brethren, the Son comes and binds that criminal. He comes into the strong man's house. Comes into this world. This is the strong man's house. He's the prince of the air of this world. He's got the children of God, all men, but God's got a people in here, and that's the ones He's coming after. And so the Son comes and binds Satan by overcoming him by His perfect life. These children, they'd sinned against God. They had broken God's law, and the rescuer Himself, the Lord of glory Himself, who's taken upon Himself the form of a servant, a rescuer, a deliverer. And He comes in here, and they have disobeyed God. And He comes in and to overpower that which they lost in the fall. He said, I'll live for them. I will earn a righteousness to deliver them. How are they going to be delivered? They're sinners. Christ was made sin. I'll take that. And I'll make that my own. And He took upon Himself. But what about justice? He said, I'll be made sin for them. I'll answer to the law's demand for justice. The law's got to be satisfied. As I've said before, there's no washing this under the rug. There's no sweeping it under and hiding it and kind of wiping it down on the outside and everything's going to be fine and don't worry about it. No. He bore their guilt, being made sin, and the justice of Almighty God looked upon him in wrath. And God's wrath was poured out on him. He was made to be us. And there's us right there. We died. Paul said, I was crucified with him. And to release them from the bondage of sin, Christ bore that. He bore that sin to give them a righteousness. He earned a righteousness and imputed that righteousness. Now, having completed the work given him by the Father, the Holy Spirit of God effectually and irresistibly reveals to these that have been redeemed, sons of God that have been redeemed, and reveals to them in regenerating grace and tells them through the preaching of the gospel, this is what God eternally purposed to do. This is what God purposed for all those that chose in His Son. And this gospel is preached. And to everyone that the Spirit of God is pleased to call out of darkness, He gives them faith to believe it. How do you know who the people of God are? They believe God. They believe it. They believe Him, and they realize now, my eternal salvation was totally wrought out by the Rescuer Himself, who according to God's will and purpose, and now having rescued the sheep, just like that dad came, got them and bound that criminal and took those kids because they were his. They're mine. That's my kids. And you're not going to have them. And he brings them and presents them back. Now, having rescued the sheep, we hear that which was everlastingly willed and purposed by God for his church. Out of Job 33:24, I love this. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I found an atonement. So Christ, with God's everlasting covenant being ordered in all things, there it's sure He having finished the work of the Father, at His second coming, He shall raise all of His sheep from the grave, all at one time collectively. And Christ, who owns the sheep, they're His by gift from His Father. And He's rescued them from sin and Satan. They're His by purchase. And He's going to bring them back. And the scripture says He's going to deliver. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up. And He comes and He brings them back. And He delivers them to the Father. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And delivers them safe and sound, secure, holy, without blame. And the holy God, God Almighty, to whom the children of God couldn't even approach Him, the Father, who is unapproachable and just, and who will in no wise clear the guilty, accepts them. And we enter into His presence in the person of the Rescuer, because His righteousness now robes us. He's delivered us from the bondage of sin, and there's no guilt and no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And he brings them to the Father and delivers them back. These are the ones, Father, You chose. These are the ones You gave Me. And he delivers them to the Father, but He forever will remain to be their head. And their sovereign master in the kingdom. He'll forever be their husband of the beloved bride. We shall ever praise Him and honor Him and magnify Him as the glorious deliverer who has redeemed us to God out of every blood and kindred and tongue and people and nation. He's made us, the scripture says, to be unto our God as kings who are going to reign with him, and priests who shall offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his holy name. That's the work that Christ came into this world to finish. That was his meat. That was his hunger, his thirst. That was his desire to complete the work of rescuing the people of God. He did and finished it, and he's conformed them all to his image, and now his sovereign grace gloriously displayed. Salvation is of the Lord. The scripture says, for it, this is Hebrews 2:10, became him. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This is what that means. For it became him, that is the Father. It, the Father declared by choosing a people unto salvation, he declared their salvation to be an act worthy of accomplishment. When it says, for it became him, that's what that means. To the Father, it became him to choose a people unto salvation. And by choosing them, the Father was saying, their salvation and whatever it takes is worthy of accomplishment. And in the accomplishment of their salvation, the Father purposed that Christ himself, the captain of the sheep, their salvation, would be honored, eternally honored, as the one who perfectly and completely suffered all that the law and justice of God demanded, required. And when we shall be raised from the dead, when's this going to take place? Well, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. All temporal, yes, you know, all kings and governors and civil authorities, but primarily all spiritual and hostile dominions and authorities that oppose God and his people. Satan, flesh, this world, all these things are going to be completely subdued and cast out into the lake of fire and cease to be any more of an obstacle toward the advancement and the salvation of God's kingdom. And all that were everlastingly beloved of God, the Father, the Son, of the Spirit, all of them that fell, were separated from God by sin, all of them that were captive to Satan, Almighty God purposed, I'm not going to let them perish. I'm not going to let them die in their sins. And he covenanted together with the Son, the Spirit, and the Son rescued them. Spirit of God gave them life and called them out of darkness. And then according to the work and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus shall completely ring throughout all eternity. Hebrews 2:13. As he comes to the Father, these words, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Oh, in that day, that glorious day, then shall come the end when he shall have delivered unto God, even the Father, all those that God everlastingly loved. They fell in Adam, but they were raised and brought back in Christ. I pray God bless these words to our heart. And now at this time, let's eat and drink in the